optimal length of life, it's not going to be long until this life is over and we shall leave it. It seems to me that we need to stop and think on some occasions, and particularly as we come to the end of the year, about what is involved in that end time, especially as we come to the judgment seat of God. And I don't know that there is a better place for us to look at that than in Matthew 25. We talk about the sheep and the goats. We sometimes even use it in a little of a light way to talk about the sheep being on the right and the goats on the left, even when we're in a class or in an assembly. And I think each one of us who is here tonight knows that this chapter talks about the judgment in the sense of the sheep and the goats. But perhaps there are some things in this passage that we've just not really stopped to consider and think about seriously as much as we ought. The gist of our lesson tonight is to show the contrast between what is said to the sheep and what is said to the goats. But before we look at the contrast, I want us to look at three things that are similar or alike in both of these cases for the sheep and the goats. Number one, verses 31 and 32 picture us the fact that everybody will stand before the judgment seat of God, the judgment seat of Christ. Every sheep, every goat, every person without exception. Everyone shall give account of himself to God, says Romans 14, 12, and 2 Corinthians 5, 10 says that each one will appear there to receive the things done in the body according to that which he has done. So there is a likeness in the sense that the sheep and the goats, each sheep and each goat, will stand before God and face him in the day of judgment. There is also a similarity mentioned in verse 46. And that is that what is going to begin for each sheep and for each goat is going to last for an eternity. The time element involved is the same, and I hesitate to even use the word time because eternity is not timed. But at least the same expression is used to refer to the destiny of the sheep and the destiny of the goat. It is going to be for an eternity. I cannot explain that to you, and the reason that I cannot explain it to you is that I do not understand the word eternity myself. None of us does. We deal with time. We deal with a beginning and an ending in all the things that we do. We even think about this season as having begun at a certain time that we thought of, and it will end. This year began January the 1st, and it will end December the 31st. But an eternity doesn't have an ending. In fact, God is said to be from everlasting to everlasting. He went into the eternity that way, and we join him in going into the eternity in that direction. But it is similar for both the sheep and the goats, which means that whatever the destiny is for each one of us, that it's going to be for an eternity. It's going to be everlasting. There'll be no changing. And folks, that's a serious thought. A third thing that is the same in both of these cases is that the place of the destiny of each is a prepared place. We're going to be contrasting verse 34 and verse 41 quite a bit in the lesson tonight. But I want you to notice that in verse 34, what he says that what he's talking about is prepared. And also in verse 41, he says what he's talking about is prepared. It's not hard for us to understand that God would prepare a good place, but sometimes it's a little difficult for us to understand that he also would prepare a place that is not so good. It's easy when we really look at things from the way we like to look at them to understand that God has made a heaven. But sometimes it's not easy, at least for some people, to realize that he has also made a hell. It's easy for us to talk about life. It's not easy for us to talk about punishment as we think in terms of the eternity. But that which is prepared for the sheep is prepared by the Heavenly Father. And that which is prepared for the goats is prepared by the Heavenly Father. And so there is a likeness in the sense that the destiny of both is a place that has been prepared. And if you'll just stop and think for a moment in passing, if we really believe that God is just, and I think we do, it demands the expectation that there would be a prepared place for the righteous, as well as a prepared place for the unrighteous. This morning, Alan emphasized that there will be no miscarriages of justice at the judgment seat. And so that being the case, it demands that there be a punishment for the wicked if there be a reward for the righteous. And so these are similar in that all are going to face judgment, all are going to begin the eternity at that point, and all are going to a prepared place. But that's where the likeness stops. And the rest of what is said in Matthew 25, 31 through 46 draws a contrast between the sheep and the goats. Notice, for example, that there is a contrast between commendation and condemnation. In verses 35 and 36, Jesus mentions what the righteous had done. He mentions several things that seem to be rather small to us as we sometimes count greatness, and yet says that these are the way that the sheep served him, by doing these things to the least of those who were related to him, and he commends them for doing it. He says, I was hungry, I was thirsty, I was sick and in prison, I was naked, and you did something about it. He commends the sheep, but he condemns the goats on the same points. He uses the same points. He said, I was hungry, I was thirsty, I was naked, I was sick and in prison, and you did not visit, you did not minister to my needs. And so the contrast is drawn here on the right hand and the left between commendation and condemnation. Is there a one of us here tonight who likes to be condemned or even criticized for what we have done or not done? Is there a one of us here tonight who does not like being complimented for what we have done and complimented for staying away from those things that might harm us? Folks, we enjoy commendations. We certainly do not enjoy condemnation. And yet at the judgment scene, as we look at the goats and the sheep, the goats will be condemned. Jesus said, you just didn't do what I asked you to do. And the sheep will be commended and complimented for what they had done. In the second way, notice the contrast between the word come in verse 31 and the word depart, or in verse 34, and the word depart in verse 41. He says to the sheep, come. He says to the goats, depart. Now those are two little words. We use them often. But I wonder if we've really stopped to think how powerful they are. When God is speaking and says, come, that means going in his direction. When God is speaking and says, depart, that means farther and farther away from God. Every one of us who is here tonight, at the day of judgment, will hear one of those two words. When I face my Father and my Savior in the judgment seat, it will either be come or depart. Do you like to have somebody tell you to leave, to go away, to go in the other direction? No, but do you not enjoy someone who invites you to come closer and to enjoy whatever the situation is at that time? Notice the contrast. Come to the sheep and depart to the goats. And then notice the contrast again in verses 34 and 41. To the sheep he says, come inherit the kingdom. To the goats he says, depart into everlasting fire. Inherit something coming for us, blessings we're going to receive, something that can't be corrupted and cannot be thrown away, as Peter indicates. Come and inherit, inherit, inherit. You're one of mine, he's saying. When the word inherit is used, it emphasizes that there is that relationship, that one is a relative to God, one is a relative to Christ. Come and inherit. And here the kingdom seems to be used in the sense of the eternal kingdom. Usually when we're thinking about the kingdom, we're talking about the church, the kingdom that is here on earth. But when that kingdom is delivered up, then those who are able to hear the word come will go into the eternal existence with God that is here referred to as his kingdom. Inherit the kingdom. Go into everlasting fire. What a contrast between the sheep and the goats. That everlasting fire is described as where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. It is described as being with brimstone, everlasting fire. And one of these days, at the end of this life, you and I will either be ready to inherit heaven or to be sent away from the presence of God into everlasting fire. Notice also, as we contrast verse 34 and verse 41, that he calls the sheep blessed, and he says that the goats are cursed. Blessed are ye. Oh, that word means so much. We might look at it from the standpoint of a list of blessings that we enjoy and transforming that into heaven or over into thinking about that time. We talk about the gates of pearl, the street of gold, the walls of jasper. We talk about no heartaches, no troubles, no problems, no tears. What blessings are there? But the word blessing, as it is translated in the Bible, sometimes carries with it the idea of happiness. That's going to be one of the greatest blessings that we will enjoy. If you think you have had something that caused you to be happy, you've never even touched the hem of the garment of the happiness that will be in heaven. He says to the sheep, you are the blessed, or you are the blessed ones. But on the other hand, in contrast, he says to the goats, you are cursed. In other words, you are going in the direction of the destiny of everlasting fire. You've lived in such a way that you cannot come and enjoy heaven, and so you are those that are the cursed. Even in stories that we hear, some that include mythical ideas, the person who has a curse on him is always one who is considered to have the biggest problem of anybody else, more so than anybody else. And so he says those that will be saved are those that will be blessed, and those who are the lost are those who will be cursed. Notice also that he says in verse 34 that this blessing in heaven that is prepared for you. And had you ever noticed that he doesn't use the word you in verse 41? After he says that the place is prepared, he says that this place is prepared for the devil and his angels. There is a contrast here. God has prepared heaven for you. That's where he wants you to go. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. 2 Peter 3 and verse 9. God does not want anybody to be lost. Therefore, from the very foundations of the world, even before the worlds began, Ephesians 3 says, God had this purpose in mind fulfilled in his Son, our Savior. And he let that Son, our Savior, die for everybody because God doesn't want anybody to be lost. Now, he will let people be lost. He will sentence people to be lost, if I understand the Bible. But he doesn't want anybody to be lost. And I think it is interesting that when he's talking to the sheep about the blessed place of heaven, he says, this is prepared for you. This is what God wants you to have. But then when he contrasts it for those who did not take advantage of this opportunity, he said, you'll go to the place that was prepared for the devil and his angels, but you're going to join them there. Prepared for the devil and his angels, and for those who do not live for God. What a contrast. And then down to verse 46. He says, these shall go away into everlasting punishment. And these refers back to the goats that he's just been discussing. These shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the sheep, the righteous, unto life eternal. Folks, think about the contrast of those two words, life and punishment. Life and punishment. Person is being tried. He is acquitted. He's given his life to live. Person is being tried. He's found guilty. He is punished with the appropriate punishment if things are carried out as they should be and they will be with God. Life and punishment. You and I, every last one of us, is going to have one or the other of those. Let me mention again these contrasts. Commendation, condemnation. Come, depart. Inherit the kingdom. Go into everlasting fire. Blessed, cursed. You, the devil and his angels, life and punishment. What a contrast in judgment. What a contrast, especially in dealing with the destiny that is going to be for every one of us after that judgment. One of two destinies. Nowhere else. One of two. Either life with God or punishment away from God. I think there is perhaps nothing about which we ought to pray and plan and think any more than that day of judgment and the destiny that will follow. And as we come to the end of a year, the end of our worship services during the year of 2001, I would urge you, I would beg you, to look at your life and be sure that you are living it as a sheep and not as a goat. Today and last week, we've talked about a lot of numbers, and things have turned out well in dealing with those numbers. Let me share with you something that really concerns me. During the year 2001, with a congregation of almost 700 members, we have had 9 members publicly confess sin and ask for prayers. In the year 2000, we had 15. Now, I'm not counting the students and others that are visitors. I'm talking about of our congregation. In 2 years, only 22 people, 15 and 9, 24 people, have come forward publicly asking for forgiveness and for prayers. I wonder if we're really stopping to think about our relationship with God. In the 7th and 8th grade class that I'm now teaching on Wednesday night, I have presented to that class some goals, and one of them is that everyone in the class be a Christian by the time this quarter is over. Most of them already are. I know that there are some of you here at the 7th and 8th grade level that are considering becoming Christians. And knowing the teaching that you have received and the instruction that you have been given, I believe that most of you at that age, and maybe even before, understand the need of being a Christian. Do you want to come to the end of 2001 and still be outside of Christ? Some are older that need to think about that. And when you look at our whole congregation, even with things that are done that are known in the community, and the neglect that is there on the part of all of us to some degree, but some especially, and think that only 9 have come during this year asking for prayers for forgiveness. Maybe we need to really stop and think. What does it matter if we meet our budget? What does it matter if we fill the auditorium every time? If you are not ready to meet your God in the day of judgment and hear Him say, come, inherit the blessings in the kingdom, nothing else really matters. I prayerfully urge you tonight to look at yourself. If you have not been baptized for the remission of sins and you believe in Jesus Christ and have a penitent attitude, don't wait till 2002. Do it tonight. And look at your life. If your life has included something that's known to others, either a sin of commission or a sin of neglect, don't end this year with any doubt whatsoever, but be ready to be one of the sheep and never to be one of the goats. I beg you to think personally. And if you need to do something about it, to come as together we stand and sing.